Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, hi, welcome back to the Citanium Mine. It is, as you can probably tell, very cold in here because it is wintertime, at least in North America, which is where the cave is located. Oh yes, another hint to this mysterious Citanium Mine. It is somewhere in North America. I know that eagle-eared listeners are going to be very interested in compiling all these clues to figure out exactly where we are. Well, there's another drop for you. But we're not really here to talk about where mysterious caves are located. No, no, no. We're here to talk about Yakuza Kiwami. Now, if you are not familiar with the Yakuza series, this is probably going to be a little confusing. What is Kiwami? Where did that come from? Where does it fall in the Yakuza canon? Well, actually, this is a lot easier if I explain more about the series in general and a little bit about the chronology. So back in 2005, at least in Japan, 2006 in America, you had the original Yakuza come out, which is basically the story of Yakuza Kiwami, because it's essentially the re-release with additional features and stories and everything like that. Extra stuff, essentially. The re-release, if you will, of the original game. In similar fashion, Yakuza Kiwami 2 was a re-release of Yakuza 2, and then you had 3, 4, and 5, which eventually, actually just recently, got remasters as well. In the middle of that, you had the very odd Yakuza Dead Souls, which basically cast the characters of Yakuza in a world where everyone was zombies, so there was that. And then eventually you also had, like, Yakuza 6, Song of Life, again, you know, just kind of going up in the numbers. But in the middle of that, you also had a prequel called Yakuza 0 that was set back in the 80s. And more recently, you had a new one called Yakuza Like a Dragon, which was a very big departure in the series based on, you know, its gameplay and everything. It wasn't so much a beat-em-up as it was like a turn-based RPG that takes place the latest in the timeline. So Yakuza 0 is actually the earliest in the timeline chronologically, although it did come way after like the first five Yakuza games. And Kiwami, that we're talking about today, is actually just the original Yakuza, just essentially as the re-release with additional things, a remix, if you will. Okay, so now that I've given you a little bit of history of what this series is, let me tell you about what it actually plays as. I've played a handful of Yakuza games, and I cannot even tell you which ones they were, but I will be able to tell you that they are almost always way more enjoyable than they have any right to be. One of the interesting things about it is this sort of dissonance between the main storyline and everything else that is happening as you're going around Kamurocho in this game. So the main storyline, just to give you a little bit of a briefing on it, is indeed about Yakuza. It's about organized crime in Japan, and it casts you as Kazuma Kiryu. Kiryu Kazuma, if you will. It depends on who's talking to you. But basically, you're an enforcer of sorts, you know, dealing with collections and all of that good stuff. For the Tojo clan, and you're a rising star. But then things go kind of wrong. You have to take the fall for somebody that you know and do the time for a crime that you didn't commit, a murder you did not commit. And for 10 years, you go to jail. The story really picks up after you get out. And what happens to your story past that. And the general crime drama that is going forward in that game casts you in this role where you're trying to discover what happened to essentially 10 billion yen that was mysteriously missing before you went to jail that people were trying to find. And so that is essentially the quest that you're going on while you, in many ways, try to restore your honor and reconnect with a lot of people and characters and storylines that you lost along the way as you were going forward. Most of that storyline, for the record, is pretty dramatic in its tone. It's not exactly like there's a ton of, you know, craziness going on behind the scenes, or even in front of the camera. It's all basically played as like a more true to life, almost like a Godfather storyline. You know, it is indeed a crime drama, and you are playing through it. It is presented that way, and it does a pretty good job of it overall. In the meantime, though, when you're not in that main storyline, everything else that's going around the city that you end up getting dragged into is kind of insane. Now, in the first one, it's not nearly as crazy as in later iterations, although I can tell you that with Kiwami, one of the things that they put in is Majima everywhere. Now, the thing about it is, there's a character called Mad Dog Majima in this series. He's fan favorite. You kind of have to love him because he is basically like this world's version of the Joker. Not Joker from like the Joker movie, but more like the Joker from the cartoons. You know, that kind of a character. He's got the eye patch on. He's got like the snakeskin suit. He dresses up in different outfits, and you know, hides in giant traffic cones, and then tries to pop out at you and fights you all the time to try and see if you're still as great as you were 10 years ago. He pops up a whole lot, and he can be kind of insane, but he's also a lot of fun, and it does make the series feel a little less serious. Also, other things that make it feel a little less serious is when all of these different people start approaching you and saying if you could help them with things. Can you help me sell matches? There's a girl who needs you to help her sell matches on the street. That's a sub-quest. There is character where you can actually trade in all of your completion points for completing different challenges and things, that is just standing on the corner and will allow you to interact with him, Bob. You can interact with him whenever you want. He is dressed like a clown, though. I mean, not his entire body, like he's in a suit and tie and everything, but his face. He's painted his face like a clown, and he's wearing a clown wig. This is never explained, by the way. No one ever explains why he's dressed that way. No one. No one ever bothers to. Other things that happen in this particular game. Somebody tries to recruit you to be a male model. Just out of the blue. That happens. These are just weird things that do have a tendency to happen in the game. And it's kind of crazy because it's not like you necessarily even seek this out. People will just like run up to you and say, "Hello, can you help me with this problem? Somebody stole my bracelet." Okay, I guess I'm gonna go and track down bracelets. And also, if you can look at the number of just random fights that you get into throughout the streets of Kamurocho, you'd start to think that oh my goodness, this really is like a crime-ridden hell. There's a point where you can unlock the idea of having nouveau riche enemies that are just like people with really flashy outfits on, just like completely gold lame from head to toe, that will just now infest the streets and will come up to you to pick a fight with you for no other reason than it sounds like it would be fun, essentially, but then they have more money, so it's worth it. These are the weird things that kind of happen. People that mistake you for their son. A whole bunch of odd things that happen. Little sub-stories that are going on. People that are trying to scam you by bumping into you and then saying, my arm, and you have to figure out how to deal with these folks. And you don't necessarily mind it because it does give you a little bit of a respite from the very straightforward crime drama that you're normally playing as. In addition to this, though, there is one of the big draws for Yakuza, which are the minigames. Now, not all of them are excellent. Not all of them are perfect, but a lot of them are good. And it is almost inevitable that you are going to find one or two that are particularly enjoyable for you. In Kiwami, there are batting cages. So there's like a little like home run minigame that you get to play. There's bowling. There's karaoke. There are gambling halls. There's mahjong. There's fighting rings. You get into like the octagon and you can do fighting championships. You can go bar hopping. And you can go to all of these restaurants and see if you can eat all of the different items on the menu, because they're just scattered throughout the world. And then, of course, there's the best one, pocket racers. That's right, pocket circuit racing, which is far more enjoyable than you ever thought it would be, because there's hardly anything that you actually do. They give you this little tiny race car, and you line up on these tracks that are made inside, and you trade out all of these parts to try and find the best combination to deal with the track that they are presenting you with, and then you watch as it goes around the track and hopefully doesn't spin out of control, that your random number generation doesn't screw you over and send you flying off of the track, and you try to beat all of these courses. And what I did find is that you end up spending way more money on the actual cars than you actually make, it seems, especially when you get the bigger ones. But of course, after I've told you all about that, I should probably also tell you about the actual combat, because that is the central mechanic of Yakuza. And that is also very interesting in Kiwami, because it gives you four different styles to really move through. The one that you have by default at the very start of the game is the dragon style, because you are, of course, the Dragon of Dojima, so that is like your style. But after you've gotten out of jail 10 years later, you don't really have any of those skills available to you right out of the gate. In fact, it's that whole thing where you have to fight Majima all those times that actually, and also a trainer that you meet later on, that actually let you regain those skills. So it's something that grows essentially with you as you are going through the game and experiencing it. The other three styles are the ones that you can actually invest skill points in. And so you've got your rush skill, which is a very fast, like, light attack skill. You can think of it as, you know, your featherweight kind of championship. You know, you're going in and you're just hitting a million different times, and then kind of, like, rotating around and quick-stepping out of the way. You have the brawler, which is a kind of a balance style, which allows you to, you know, pick up some objects, try to, you know, maneuver and twist out of the way if you need to, block attacks, and then go in for some good punches. Much more of like the straight up boxer style. And then you have Beast. And Beast style is actually really great, because it's this big, heavy handed style where you just start thwomping people with these slow attacks, but also really big ones. And it also allows you to grab bigger objects. And when I say bigger objects, I mean, like, do you want to pick up a motorcycle and hit enemies with it? That's beast mode. You've got to use it for that. So you have those three that you can actually upgrade over the course of time for your body, for your soul, for your technique and all of those things, and unlock new abilities and all of that. And then the dragon one, which is sort of a combination of some of the best elements of all of them, is one that you get to upgrade simply by going through the game and doing things, which is a really nice way of kind of ranging it out. You start to find that there are a lot of battles where you're going to be in one style and think to yourself, this doesn't seem to really be working for me, and like, okay, I got to switch it. I got to switch it up and realize that in a different style, it works a lot better. So it kind of encourages you. The way that they've done the straight-up combat is really great, because it encourages you to try different styles and learn what the benefits of each one of them are. Also, the game really encourages just to explore the town. One, because you can have random occurrences where there be people that are in distress on the street and you can help them out and they'll give you something for helping them out. Or there will be actual scripted sub-stories that you run across by going into some of the back alleys and the little out-of-the-way places and parks in this world. But then also, finding stuff on the ground. There's a bunch of things on the ground, especially locker keys. coin lockers, for those who are not aware, are a big staple of the Yakuza series. Essentially, you have this bay of lockers somewhere in town. This time, it's next to Millennium Tower, where a lot of the big story elements are taking place. And they'll have lockers that are labeled like A1 down to, I think it's like F10 or whatever. And you'll pick up coin locker keys, because everybody's just leaving those around. It's not like anybody actually cares what's in their lockers anymore. Just chuck the coin key down. You pick these up, and you can go and get fabulous prizes. But you can only really get those by paying close attention to the world and looking for these glows on the street. And going into the back alleys and looking at stuff. It's a really smart way to get you to explore the world. Although I would say that you have a lot of ability to go into different buildings, and there's a lot of places for you to look at. The whole world is not necessarily open. All the buildings in Kamurocho are not open to you. A lot of them are just, you know, blocked off buildings that are there. This is not new to video gaming, but it does get better in later iterations of the series because they start to just have more stuff involved. The main storyline, though, is definitely an interesting one. Obviously, Kiryu himself is, the centralized character, and you have the most investment in him. He does really only have the one facial expression, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. He's a fine protagonist for being the lead in a crime saga. Majima obviously is sort of a fan favorite because he's just insane. And then you meet a whole bunch of other characters that are there. I can't tell you that it is the most fleshed out of crime dramas ever, but it is a lovely tale about betrayal and loyalty, and as you find out later, about family in a lot of ways. And then you'll stumble upon a man who's having a serious problem in a public restroom and needs you to get him pocket tissues to help him out. So, yeah, there's variety here. So it's around this time that I would talk about games that are very similar to Yakuza Kiwami, and I have to tell you that if you're really looking for something that has a lot of the martial arts combat, but in an open world setting, I would suggest you try getting your hands on Sleeping Dogs, which is very much a sleeper hit. Was not exactly something that a lot of people were talking about, but really should have. It does talk about crime drama. You're actually an undercover cop in that one. It's open world, has action adventure elements, there's a lot of combat, a lot of hand-to-hand fighting, just like Yakuza. It doesn't focus much on firearms. It's mostly, you know, melee weapons, and using your fists of fury. It was a really interesting take, more or less, on GTA, and had some really interesting DLC as well, which you might enjoy. But the general idea of going around Hong Kong and seeing the sights and playing around in that world is something that if you kind of like the general look and tone and feel and gameplay of Yakuza, you might find some similarities to it in Sleeping Dogs, but also more or less if you really just like GTA-style games or open sandbox games. It's one that you might not have played when it came out because it was a little bit of a sleeper. A sleeping dog. Haha. But it's definitely one worth trying. I enjoyed it a lot. All right. Well, I guess this is the end of the episode. So thank you for joining us. We will talk to you on the next episode, whenever that may be. Ooh, when will that be? And where are we? And is it actually... Are we actually on this plane of existence? I'm not going to tell you. You're just going to have to wait and find out. There's more information is incoming. You're going anyway. You don't care. You don't care. This isn't a mystery to you. Is this completely not an okay? Fine. The mystery dies with me.